With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All night on the beach to the break of dawn, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Some big results in the CONMEBOL qualifiers. And should West Ham have signed a striker? It's Wednesday, 2nd of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Bienvenido. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Good to have you here. Andy and Vish, lovely to see you two again.
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag. Andy,
you're right.
What have you got to say?
Hello.
Say something, say something foreign. Go on.
Yeah.
That's your department.
Well, would you say it from the continent? Oh, with your clever friends.
As long as you consider us friends, Andy. Chaps. The World Cup qualifiers, they keep on coming thick and fast. They're not done, actually. I just can't get enough of this international football, damn it. All this and more tonight.
Does it not feel, you know, with the kind of football that's been happening at the moment while the Premier League's taking a break, it feels very trans world sport, doesn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes, it does.
And some of us like that, Vish.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know, yeah. Uh-huh. Perverts. But it feels like.
Perverts.
Yeah, it's like. I used to watch trans world sport just for like. You know, some monks playing football, because that's how I'd get my hit. And it feels like all the football is in very unusual, very exotic places. You know, we had the Edinburgh Derby yesterday. That was fun. That was quite unusual.
It's very unusual.
Didn't know they
very
did
exotic.
That
yeah. Yeah. Capital city in the same kingdom. Very unusual.
You know what they're playing at.
I mean, the reason why we all know kabaddi is because of trans world sport.
Yeah, 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 that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And ice hockey.
I was aware of ice hockey, I have to say.
Right, okay.
I've enjoyed World Team Tag recently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's
yeah.
fun, isn't it?
I mean, it's glorified kabaddi, isn't it? Similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
It's like kabaddi on a council estate.
Good value for beginners. Anyway, enough of that crap, everybody. Let's go straight to South America. There were some big results. We were talking about the South American qualifiers, of course. It is, it's all to play for in there. We know Brazil and Argentina have qualified, predictably, typically. Ecuador are looking good, Andy. But in there, we've got a situation here with Uruguay, Peru, Chile, and just Colombia hanging on in there. But Chile themselves got a vital win away to Bolivia. Alexis Sanchez among the goals, of course. Kickoff was delayed because officials had to come onto the pitch and pour the water or try and sort of scoop the water around the penalty spot into buckets and carry it off. Do look at that, because if you look at that, you think to yourself, how on earth did the game go ahead?
Yes.
But once everybody's got up the mountain that is La Paz, Andy, I've conquered it myself, I know. didn't score any goals, though.
Were you too busy with your massive broom getting rid of the water?
Massively so. Yeah. I'm all about the assists, as you know. Then I think they say, look, in for a penny, in for a pound, you know. And I think it's rainy season or something like that in Bolivia. But my goodness, Fish, the scenes were wonderful.
But the video is really funny because they put the bucket down.
Yeah.
And they have like smaller pans and buckets to scoop it in.
Pans.
But it's still raining.
Yeah.
So the bucket is still getting full.
Turn it over. Yeah. No, but that's hitting the ground.
I don't, like, they must have been at that for hours.
You know what they need? They need one of those water hogs that you get at the test, don't they?
The super sopper.
Yeah.
It's funny because those conditions, it wouldn't be effective.
What, because
it would
too
displace
much water.
The ground. Yeah, because the ground is so soft that after a while, you start mashing up the soil, basically.
Oh, what, so you'd end up playing it on a Hackney Masters pitch?
But I worse, mean,
I like,
yeah.
I like the idea of playing a World Cup qualifier on that kind of pitch.
Mm. Yeah, also the... it is funny that, you know, you see this in Sunday League as well. It's always the penalty area that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Not the penalty area and like the centre circle.
Are you saying all teams are long ball teams, basically?
I think they are, yeah.
I really like the idea of Alexis Sanchez playing and I think flourishing on a pitch of any sort of quality. Mm-hmm. He's the sort of player who's the sort of flair player who would be great on a terrible pitch.
I agree.
Well.
I know what you mean.
And yeah. he's been able to on Inter's pitch recently. Of course, they're having it relayed. They're having the San Siro pitch relayed while we've got this little de facto winter break at the moment. But because Alexis Sanchez, who scored twice in this game, is kept in cold storage for most of the time at the moment, not first choice for Inter in pretty much the whole time that he's been there. When you let him out of the cage, he just goes nuts.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's fun.
But it was a vital win for them.
Mm.
That, you know, Ben Brereton Diaz is Chile. We want to see him at the World Cup.
Yeah, I was thinking about
it. We want
this.
To see BBD
yeah.
at the World Cup.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
I have to say, who was it? Someone planted a jocular rumour on transfer deadline day that Barcelona were interested in Ben Brereton Diaz.
Yes.
One, I thought that was extremely snobby.
Yeah.
The idea that linking him to a club of stature was some sort of
joke. Was it Guayaquil, Barcelona, and Ecuador, Andy?
Because he's been incredible. Also,
answer the question.
The joke of it that was, you know, he's way more sustainable than a lot of their other signings. I thought it was unnecessarily harsh on someone who's having an amazing time.
He's having a lovely time. And they are sixth, though. And of course, the top four go through and then that fifth place goes into the playoff and so on. So as we said the other day, you know, Ecuador looking very, very good in third. You would fancy them to do it, although obviously there's a couple of fixtures remaining. Uruguay, they themselves got a big win against Venezuela, as you'd expect. A goal for new Spurs signing, Mr. Bentancur, inside the first minute. And obviously Cavani and Luis Suarez. Don't worry,
they are still persevering with him. I mean, they've moved on from...
What, Cavani and Suarez?
Yeah, I mean they've moved on from...
They're persevering with them. I mean, they have provided a fair bit in the Uruguayan shirts, have they not?
You cannot play with those two up front anymore.
Well, evidently you can, Andy, because they both scored in a 4-1 win.
Against Venezuela.
Yeah, well, you can only beat what's put in front of you. Fish, back me up here.
I mean, it's very interesting if they go into the World Cup with those two up front. That's what I'm saying.
Who would you have instead of them? Would you play one instead of the other? And then who would you play up top?
Cavani's the one who can actually still run.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. Luis Suarez is... Now he's no longer fueled with post-Barcelona hatred to the same degree as he was last season.
Yeah, but they'll get it and they'll find a way. whoever they're playing, it'll be like Uruguay if they get to the World Cup and they'll play, I don't know.
It's a discussion.
Say they'll play South Korea. They'll play South Korea, for example, and they'll find a way for him to, like, oh, have you heard that in South Korea they do this? And actually, if you think about it, that's mugging you off, and they'll manage to kind of fuel him like that. That's what they'll do. They'll just find a way, Andy. He's got a bit of quality left in there, and he's got a bit of hatred in there, and therefore, you've got to take him. If they qualify, though, because Uruguay themselves are in fourth now, you know, obviously they're currently in the spot. But the team who are struggling, though, are Colombia, and we've enjoyed Colombia at recent World Cups, especially when we beat them on penalties. You know, any team that can lose to England on penalties, we want them there. Mm-hmm. We need them there, for crying out loud. But they lost 1-0 to Argentina. Argentina on a 29 match unbeaten streak. Going by Papu Gomez's words, the players are having a great time with that Argentina team right now. He said, if we could, we wouldn't sleep. When everyone returns to their club, it's a dagger to the heart.
Back to the hell of having a super time at Sevilla.
Yeah, exactly. But Colombia down in seventh. They're not going very, very well at all. 17 points. They're 5 points off that fourth spot. So perhaps fifth spot is more realistic. However, though, for Colombia, they're playing Bolivia, and then they are playing Venezuela. So they've got two winnable games. And
To win games, you have to score, though, don't you?
And that's
the issue for them at the moment.
Okay. Where does that come from? Because you look at their team and you think it looks on paper a team that should be able to at least create chances. And someone in Muriel, who I've always assumed is passable goal scorer.
Well, and Luis Diaz as well.
Who's
just signed for Liverpool.
Yeah.
He scored a lot of goals for Porto.
And he was the last scorer for them eight games ago.
Yeah.
8 games ago.
I mean, that is mad.
It's remarkable.
You're going to slag off Radamel Falcao in a minute. Now you've got to pop at Luis Suarez, aren't you? Go on, slag him off, Andy.
Well, the chances haven't been.
Well, they shouldn't play Espria anymore.
Come on. Can Valderrama do the box to box? Did he ever do it? No, go on, sorry.
Well, he's had a haircut now, so obviously he can no longer be considered for the team.
We're not interested then. But they are struggling. So I mean, that's the thing with the South American qualifiers. Like I said, if you get Ecuador, that's lovely. If you get one or two of the others, but unfortunately you do miss out. You might miss out on a Peru or a Colombia, but them's the breaks, of course, everybody. Brazil beat Paraguay 4-0. Goals for Philippe Coutinho and Rafinha among them.
Those were bangers, were they not?
Of course they were bangers, Andy. That's what we like to see. But we've talked a little bit about ageing strikers. Well, let's talk about a very aged striker, a former striker, one could say. The original Ronaldo was a guest on Christian Vieri's Twitch channel this week, which is just a wonderful sentence to utter, of course. He had some interesting things to say, particularly on his relationship with Romario. And he said, I learned a lot from Romario and Bebeto. They were an inspiration for me, even if Romario was a motherfucker. Because he forced young players to clean his boots or bring him coffees.
So were they speaking Italian?
I assume so.
So is
it could have been English, because Ronaldo's English is... I didn't see this. Obviously, Vieri speaks fluent.
Yeah, yeah.
But he famously hates speaking English.
Ronaldo does, yeah. Yeah, but it's on
Twitch.
No,
Vieri.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he does a lot of punditry in English. We can't hate it that much.
Yeah.
Does he not do a lot of work with ESPN out in America?
Yeah, but he does not enjoy speaking English.
But well, then, I think he might have turned a corner now with that.
So when he watches...
He might have turned a corner.
Well, I mean, right. if he's a pundit reasonably regularly speaking English.
So when he was watching The Ashes, did he put it in Italian?
Like, yeah, exactly. Just think about it.
Provide a service, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Think about this. Christian Vieri might well know who you are.
Why do you think that?
Because you're a man of the bat. And so is he.
Yeah, me and Bruce Wayne, yeah. Men of Bet.
He might have watched some of your cricket coverage before and read some of your articles.
That's not the maddest thing you've said.
No, just stick around, everybody.
So we're thinking Vichy's biggest fans, Christian Vieri and Rino Gattuso.
Why? Interesting. Why Gattuso?
Gattuso's famously into cricket.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
So why?
Didi Haman.
Yeah, that I remember that.
Yeah, you were about to say that makes sense. Yeah, like German player.
Well,
for
no, because he tweets a lot about cricket. as does Yannick Bolasie as well.
Yeah,
right.
But the Gattuso's into cricket.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
How through what?
He got into it when he was at Rangers.
Well, I mean that was. I mean, I know they play a lot of cricket in Scotland, yeah. But that's. Wow.
This is what happens when there's no Premier League, everybody.
He'd be a great number three.
Cristiano Ronaldo knows who Andy Brassel is, and maybe Dennis Irwin remembers who I am. So, yes, he went on about Romario. And this was in the 1997 training camp for the Copa America. Of course, Ronaldo was a lot younger at the time, weren't we all? He said, Romario suddenly told me, get up, we go out tonight, don't worry. He had prepared a ladder to climb over the hotel's wall, and there was a taxi waiting for us on the other side. We returned at 5 a.m, and I was exhausted the following day in training. I understood that Romario did it on purpose to tie me out and take away my spot in the starting 11. Now, 1997, I mean, you know, Ronaldo was absolutely hammering the goals in for yeah. Barcelona around that time, and of course 98 World Cup would go on to make his mark. But yes, that, I mean, Romario, I love the fact that, because Romario presumably returned at 5 a.m. as well, he's used to a late night, he is very used yeah. to that routine, can manage it on 3 hours sleep, and at that point he probably wasn't doing much running around anyway, so yeah, dirty tactics from Romario, but that's, you know, doesn't surprise one, does it?
Did he also take him out, what, 3 hours before the 98 World Cup final?
Well, that's, there's many conspiracy theories I've heard about that final. That's not one of them. gentlemen, let's move on to the Asian qualifying. Harvey Renard, Saudi Arabia, were beaten 2-0 by Japan, who are now just a point off the Saudis at the top of Group B. Minamino scored in that game for Liverpool fans. How about that? So, yes, Saudi Arabia and now Japan looking good. Australia drew 2-2 with Oman, 3 points behind Japan. Looks like they'll have to go through the playoffs. They are playing Japan and Saudi Arabia. I have it on good authority from Australia that they are concerned, and they're thinking, do you know what? We haven't done enough, and we'll be lucky to get to the World Cup, which is a shame because we're used to seeing the Aussies there. But there we are. Now, also in the Asian qualifying, Vietnam picked up their first win ever in a qualifier yesterday with a 3-1 win over China. Both countries celebrating the Lunar New Year, Andy. And how about that? Well done to Vietnam. What have you got to say on that?
Very little.
Have you? Anybody?
What year is it? There's an animal, isn't there?
It's
tiger this year.
The year of the tiger.
It is the year of the tiger.
Wow. I don't know what else to say to that.
It's time to move on, perhaps.
Just rawr.
Good.
Is that why you were trying to bat for Radamel Falcao earlier?
Oh, El Tigre.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the year of Tony Tiger, everybody. So then let's go back to...
Do they sell Frosties anymore?
Of course they do.
I don't think so.
Of course they do.
I haven't seen any.
We're outside the EU. We can eat what we want. on to more domestic matters.
He's been cancelled.
On to more domestic matters. Andy, last night, it wasn't just World Cup qualifiers. Of course, there was some Football League action. Wimbledon 2, Cheltenham 2. Our spies in the ground found that you and your good friend David Cartledge, who can be heard on the continent, yeah. were seen in the director's box eating some curried goat.
Well, I was eating some curried goat, but not in the director's box.
Ah, oh, so our spies need to... We need to get new ones. yeah.
Polish their telescope.
They need to use both eyes.
Yeah. What are you having the curry goat with?
It came with rice and coleslaw.
Coleslaw?
That's odd.
It was nice, actually.
No plantain? Was there...
No.
Something like that?
Although it was very strange. Like, the stall was nice. The food was nice. There was the choice of jerk chicken or curried goat or a baked potato with cheese and beans.
You messed up there, mate.
Ooh, with curried goat on the baked potato. Could you have done that?
No, I don't think you could have done, but that is an idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the kind of thinking that... That sometimes if you go to a cafe, they just, no, that's not the combo. And you know, all you've got to do is take a spoon from that. No, we don't do that.
Yeah.
It would have to be a big potato to make it work.
I remember being in a proper old East London cafe with Luke once, and there was a guy, it was called Arthur's Cafe, and Arthur was in there, and which was terribly exciting. And basically he was like, he just told you the menu.
Oh, yeah.
One of those ones. Right, yes. You're going to have chicken, liver, bacon and beans. Or you can have chicken, bacon, beans and potato. And you go, oh, can I just have one or the other? No, I don't do that. It's like, but you've said all those words. You've said every single one.
It's not even written down, man.
Yeah. It's just on a stone tablet somewhere. So Andy, a good point for Wimbledon in the end. A late goal, AFC.
Yeah, we could have done with a win. And haven't won for a while. But at least we scored a couple of goals, which is not to be sniffed at the moment.
Absolutely. And also, Andy... Good news for you is your beloved Lyon scored a couple of goals last night against Marseille in a huge clash, which will be dissected on the continent.
It will be.
Now, this Thursday, of course. Jordan Shaqiri turned on the star, didn't he?
Goal and an assist.
A goal and an assist.
Knock me down with a feather.
And Moussa Dembele with a ridiculous overhead kick, but made amends for a beautiful winning goal.
Yeah, when you say ridiculous overhead kick, that means makes it sound like he scored it.
No, he didn't.
He did not score it.
I think ridiculous is the right adjective for that, though.
I should have said attempted a ridiculous overhead kick.
Yes.
No, but it was ridiculous, wasn't it? It's like he lost his bearings. He forgot where he was in relation to the goal.
Mm. But staying with French football, if we may, everybody, for a moment, there was some wonderful scenes this week in the Coupe de France. PSG goalkeeper Marcin Bulka, apparently on loan at Nice, saved two penalties for Nice in the shootout against PSG, and thus won them the game, putting out his employers. And when people say, "Oh, do you celebrate against a former club?" Well, it's not a former club. He's still currently on the books there. He sprinted away in celebration, did a big old knee slide. Come on! Love it!
Oh, yeah. I bet he's halfway through the skin thinking, "Oh, well, that's killed my chance of getting in the first team."
Yeah, well...
How do I stop mid-skid?
Yeah, well, he had to give up his number 30 shirt for Lionel Messi.
Yeah, where is it? He should take it back off him.
It's
give it back.
It's a French league rule that they had to make an exception for Messi, that the number 30 has to be a goalkeeper.
Oh, wow.
That's a very interesting fact.
Why is that?
It just is.
Just one of the little quirks.
Some would say French bureaucracy.
Oh. So, very quickly, and I know obviously you're going to talk about this in OTC, but obviously there's this idea with PSG that they should win everything. But do they care about the Coupe de France?
Yeah, because it's funny because the angle from PSG is that, like, you have to win everything, even though it doesn't really mean anything.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, the headline immediately after that was Pochettino, Champions League or nothing. Well, yeah, I kind of feel like it was like that before.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Right.
It's quite nice, though, because Nice are second, aren't they, in Ligue 1?
They are, yeah.
So...
best coach in France in Christophe Galtier, who this week said he'd be open to taking the France job at some point.
That's big of him. Very big of him.
What a shambles of a league where the team at the top can just loan a goalkeeper to the team at the second and not be bothered by it.
Yeah, you can play against
him. Yeah, have him, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, but
we've already got his number for his shirt for our other player, so you fucking have him, yeah.
But it shows you, though, that even they, in all their pomp, needed to learn that lesson, and now they've been punished and they're out the cup.
Yeah. I mean, they're 11 points clear at the top, BSG.
But they're out the cup.
They are out the cup,
absolutely,
yeah.
Right, absolutely right. Gentlemen, on to much more serious matters, if we can. Let's chat about what's happening at Raith Rovers at the moment. The Scottish Championship side have signed former Dundee United and Blackburn Rovers striker David Goodwillie. He was ruled by a judge in 2017 to have raped a woman, I'm sure. A lot of people have seen this. He was sued for damages in a civil court along with ex-Dundee United player David Robertson. Now, no criminal charges were brought because prosecutors said there wasn't enough evidence. Now, because they've signed him, at least six members of staff have handed in their resignations and numerous fans feel that they've not been listened to. Tyler Rattray, the Raith Rovers women's captain, is thought to have stepped away from the club. Val McDermid, the sponsor on their shirt, of course, very famous crime novelist, has said she will end her association and supportership of the club. And, I mean, was particularly outspoken as well on this situation. And the club's subsequent statement has been particularly scrutinised. They said, with regards to the signing and the reaction to the signing of David Goodwillie, as with all new signings, the club has carefully considered our position as a community club and we completely respect the differing views among fans and stakeholders, many of whom we have spoken to directly in the past 24 hours and with whom we are continuing to engage. First and foremost, this was a football-related decision. Now, they themselves have referred to themselves as a community club in that statement. That kind of signing and the reaction, some are saying, well, hang on a minute, that is not the kind of actions of a community club.
In an era of tone-deaf statements from football clubs' press offices, I mean, this is right up there, isn't it?
Mm.
It's extraordinary. And to finish it with saying this was a football-related decision, when your fans, a huge portion of your fans, it seems, and the wider football community are asking you to look beyond that. I mean, it just really shows contempt for those people.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a really good point because no one saw that signing and thought, well, they're probably doing it on his character then, aren't they? They're probably signing him because, they like the person. Mm-hmm. Rather, it was always, if anything, that was always assumed that it was a football decision. I think the thing I find a bit, well, the thing I find interesting about this in particular, this particular situation, is because it's happening now, we're in a situation where women in men's football have greater prominence. And that is only a good thing for a number of reasons, not just beyond making the game more meritocratic off the field, but also the fact that a lot of what's happened over the last few years in terms of some of the conversations that football has had has come through having people who are directly affected by this, if not maybe direct experiences of it, made to feel like the sport isn't for them, have been welcomed into the game, and they're now providing those important voices for, I suppose, in many ways, for a cause to action such as this. So, for example, the fact that so many prominent women associated with Raith Rovers have stepped away.
Val McDermott is the main one. Just to cut in, her father was a scout for the club. She's a lifelong supporter of the club. She's been on the board. She sponsored a stand, for crying out loud. You know, that shows you the depth. This is not someone who just supported them in the last 10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that shows you the depth. And she's stepping away from something which is a big part of her life.
Yeah, and Tyler Rattray, the women's captain, stepping away and being quite vocal about herself stepping away. The thing I want to say maybe that I'm conflicted with is that people will say, right, you know, he has to make a living some way. Mm-hmm. And people will point to, for example, the Cristiano Ronaldo situation. But I suppose the difference with this is the fact that, much like Ched Evans, there are actually more clubs that are going to take a punt on someone like Goodwillie or Evans. And it always feels like we're waiting for that to happen. And when it does happen, I always think, what is the solution here? And I think maybe the best case scenario is that stuff like this is talked about. The toxic masculinity around football is talked about. You have prominent people coming out, and certainly women in power as well, and men. You know, we all need to play a part in this, talking about it in, or discussing it in important ways, and actually trying to find out why it is that football constantly seems to find itself in this situation, and what we need to do about it going forward. Because they shouldn't have signed David Goodwillie. That's my personal opinion.
Agreed.
They had vox pops outside the ground last night, where some people understood the decision. But we kind of have to. Why are, and people say it's a societal problem, but why does football seem to be this hotbed of execrable activity for men, and why, how do we sort it out? I don't really know, beyond, I don't know, just getting kids down at an early age and being like, look, this is, you don't want to end up this way, or, sorry, I'm rambling on here.
But I'm kind of
at a loss, because I feel like we always have this conversation. We had it with Evans. We had it with Ronaldo. We're having it with David Goodwillie.
And all that is valid. I agree. And I think when the massive problem here as well, though, going on from that, is that Raith Rovers' reason to exist is that embracing everyone in community, in making everyone feel part of it. And when huge parts of that diversity and the sponsorship and the support starts walking away, just listen. You are the reason that the club exists.
An excellent point, I think, to finish on, Andy, there. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I wish I knew.
Look at the disgust in his face.
Oh, welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's Wednesday, so that means it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me.
I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Please!
Here we go. Bish, over to you.
Right. Do you remember McCain from last week? The one who was going on a date?
That yes.
Clashed in the USA game, and he wondered if his date would A, be interested in watching it, but B, given she couldn't do 2 hours before, was actually watching her beloved Ecuador.
Yes.
Yes, and this was a first date, was it?
It was a first date, yeah.
And he said, what should we do? And we said, you two said he should lie.
Well, yeah, I advised him to lie, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So sue me.
So, well.
We're about to find out what happened. So he's
emailed him. Never tell Americans, so sue me, because they probably will.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we enjoy ramble privilege in this room.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes. It's like doing the DCMS committee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, go on, Fish.
The law doesn't apply in here.
As we've often displayed over
I'm not
the
sure
years.
Our producer agrees. Right. Thank you for the thorough advice in last week's Pep Talks regarding the first date predicament. I will forever hold with me the advice that lying to start a relationship is good. But I just wanted to follow up with an update about the actual date. Since my date was running a bit behind, right, that's one blemish, I was able to watch the first half of the US game against El Salvador, which predictably provided an abundance of disappointment. I thank you for encouraging me not to reschedule the date, as even though the US scored once I left for the date, virtually anything is more exciting than watching the golden generation of US football be squandered under Greg Berhalter. Anyway, after beating around the bush for a bit on the date, I asked if she had seen that Ecuador had impressively tied against Brazil.
Because that was the game earlier.
That was the earlier game.
That she was saying, oh, can we meet at this time so she can watch that game?
Exactly, yeah.
He wondered if he thought, well, how can I find this out?
Sadly, she replied that she does not really care about soccer and that I only knew there were games in Ecuador because my professors would cancel class. So not only is she not into football, cancel class, she's probably stupid as well. She's not stupid. I was making a leap, a comedic leap. Right.
Yeah, well, you'll decide if it's comedic.
I will, yeah. So you shouldn't take it seriously, but you should laugh.
Yeah.
So he finishes the email to say, it's the fact that I was not tricked into letting her watch Ecuador mean that she's probably not the one for me? Or should I keep scheduling dates with her anyway for nights of the US qualifying matches since I wasn't with her when Canada drubbed the USA on Sunday? I don't think you should...
go out with someone who's so stupid, apparently.
Wow, not my words. I'm just putting two and two together, yeah?
Yeah, And does she struggle with that as well?
Yeah, well, she might. It depends what class the professor was in.
How can you, Fish, honestly? I think keep going with it.
Yeah, like, but to be fair, how was the actual day? Was it good? You know, did you have fun? Did you have a little kiss at the end?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to further updates.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And what if the updates are good?
I do, like, from a narrative perspective, and I realise this isn't the most important part of the day, I do feel a bit let down that she didn't have views, especially with everything that happened in the Ecuador-Brazil game.
I know.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she obviously didn't watch it.
Oh, that's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah. We could have got the highlights on his phone. Well, you haven't watched it, but look at this.
I think
yeah, that's really enjoyable behaviour on a date. Yeah.
Absolutely right. Keep going with it and don't do stupid, superstitious things.
But let us know how the actual date went, because if it went... it presumably went well because he's thinking about a second date.
Yeah, I'd say.
And scheduling it.
Yeah.
Speak to you next Wednesday, McCain.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we've got one from Anonymous. It says, because apparently other family members listen to the show, how the fuck do you get an engagement ring for the partner you have access to? Good to know you're across all Stack products. when they never wear rings... own no rings and want to try and keep it a surprise.
Has this email come from a guy from Ecuador?
It's from McCain. I think sort of when you're holding hands, just like compare the sizes of your hands, you can do that sort of subtly.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
There's a really simple answer to this, and I thought I'd wait for you to give a terrible answer before I gave the correct answer.
Wait for me to give a terrible answer then, Andy.
Oh, I'm there already.
Go on then. Mr. Noel.
Cut a finger off in her sleep and send that.
Yeah. Is that the cue you were waiting for, Andy?
Yeah, there we go. Some sense at last.
Uh-huh. Go on then.
Just get a bit of blue tack, wrap it around while she's asleep, bingo.
But you'd feel that.
Hang on.
How is someone going to feel you? Maybe I'm too heavy a sleeper. But you can...
What if she's got hairy hands and when he takes the blue tack off, tears the hair off?
Andy, you said that like so quickly as if... I mean, last week you were saying, you know, lie to start a relationship. Now you're saying like...
No, that was me.
Yeah, but Andy said something also quite sort of bordering on sinister. I think you can't put blue tack on people when they're sleeping, Andy.
No, but you take it off.
I know you tried that with me once.
Why are you so appalled by this?
Wow, because it's just a weird thing to say. Like, would you have ever thought about that?
Well, the thing is string, isn't it? So I would try and get a piece of string around the finger.
You get a direct mould with blue tack.
Oh, that's a good shout.
You see?
Gordon Bennett. But surely if you had, like, you could just put your hand...
That's how, while you were sleeping, I compiled my full-scale model of Marcus Speller that I have in the entrance to my house.
And it's covered you in blue tack. You still got some in your hair, actually. And
then it's like Lionel Richie in the Hello video.
I was the inspiration to Lord of the Rings. Well, there we are. I think... I don't know if we've answered
that. Yeah, blue tack's a good one.
It's an excellent one. We can all agree. If you've got any
questions...
And
that way you don't have to sever a finger.
If you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in. Of course, we'll get to them every Wednesday for Pep Talk. Show at footballramble.com. Or tweet us at Football Ramble. Now we've got an update, gentlemen, that's genuinely interesting, which we pick up from the story that we spoke about yesterday with UEFA going to take legal action against that pizzeria in Germany over their pizza called Champignons League, which of course is Mushrooms League in German. UEFA have opted not to take legal action against them. So well done them. UEFA said that they can happily live alongside this delicious sounding pizza.
So are they asking to have a pizzeria set up next to them in neon, or are they asking basically for free pizzas?
I think that they...
Delicious sounding pizzas. Obviously, we can't tell if it's delicious tasting because we haven't had one yet.
That's a good point, yeah.
I think, Andy, that they've just seen sense and backed down and have got on with stuff that might actually make a difference in the footballing world. So there we are. Sense has prevailed for once with regards to UEFA. Now, gentlemen, I'd like to hear some of your verdicts on the recent transfer window slamming shut. The Premier League clubs spent an accumulative total of £295 million, which is the second highest ever in a January transfer window, which is quite interesting because it didn't feel like that, if you know what I mean.
It didn't feel like that until the Chris Wood transfer happened.
Until Newcastle United went, let's spend some cash.
I thought that. This felt like a window where there was a series of dominoes falling. And it was like...
Another pizzeria.
Yeah.
It's not a pizzeria, is it?
Well, it was a pizza place, yeah.
Yeah, pizza place. Carry on.
Yeah, so it's a pizzeria you can't sit in. Mm. I mean, you can. You just got asked to leave.
You're just not...
You sit anywhere, couldn't you?
Pizzeria for a bit.
Yeah. But it felt like there were a lot of moving parts and a lot of things triggered by other situations and also league situations. And it feels like that was most pronounced in the Championship. And obviously at the bottom of the table to a point, but Newcastle distort that a bit. But it felt like the Championship people pushing for promotion started getting some business done. And I suppose a lot of it was also keeping hold of players, like Blackburn keeping hold of Brereton Diaz.
I'll tell you what, Bournemouth
keeping hold of Carvalho.
Yeah, although that would be a bit different, wouldn't it? Because I think he was always going to come back if he had signed.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how that pans out. And them not selling him on transfer deadline day was more accident than design, wasn't
it?
But
yeah.
Having said
but Bournemouth
that,
and signing their loan players,
the Bournemouth Photoshop guy must have been so busy. Like, how many heads did he have to graft onto Steve Cook's body?
Absolutely.
A lot.
Andy, can you tell us more about Wout Weghorst, who's effectively replaced Chris Wood at Burnley? Because only Rob Lewandowski scored more goals in the Bundesliga than him since he joined Wolfsburg in 2018.
He's an upgrade.
It sounds a hell of a signing,
It's that simple. And they've been able to get him at opportunity price because he's unvaxxed. Because Wolfsburg...
Is that right?
Wolfsburg were having to get rid of him because they were going into... Well, they decided to reshape their front line anyway. But he's a very good player whose value was plummeting, basically because most clubs around Europe have been saying, we need players who are vaccinated.
Yeah.
Burnley not so bothered, apparently.
And he posts a lot of anti-vax stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, really, really good goal scorer. Better than Wood on the deck as well, and makes the most of a team that doesn't really create much chances. The whole time that Oliver Glasner was in charge, they were quite circumspect. Mm-hmm. So I think you need not just to look at the numbers, but the amount of chances that that team was creating. He is a great taker of chances.
All right. Well, I think it's a good bit of business by the sounds of that, Andy. So we look forward to seeing the big man playing for Burnley.
Until they get another three games called off and they end up playing seven games in the last week of the season.
But because he's so tall, you can like break off a piece of him so you could have like two like normal-sized players, couldn't you?
And then blue-tack him together.
Yeah, if you want to...
There we go, some sensible solutions
there
at last.
There we are at the Football Ramble. Vish, I'd like to ask you about West Ham. They didn't make a single signing in this window, which bemused some people because they are obviously fighting for that top four finish. And David Moyes has said that money has been available. West Ham bidded $50 million plus $10 million in add-ons for Benfica player Darwin Nunez on deadline day, which had been a record for West Ham, but they didn't get him. Benfica rejected that. And then it emerged on Saturday that they had a $50 million bid for Calvin Phillips turned down. They also had a bid rejected for Rafinha as well. They made an inquiry about Patrick Schick. So they were clearly interested in signing some players.
You say that, right? But Simon Jordan pointed out, I think quite correctly, that it's the easiest thing in the world to bid for players and make it look like you're doing something, especially when you're bidding for players you know you can't get.
Yeah, but what if they turn around and go, yeah, go on, then we'll have that. That's where it comes. I said, what do you think of this, though, Fish? I mean, I love the fact of them going after Calvin Phillips, if indeed they did, which sounds like they did, because Rice and Phillips in the centre of midfield, you know, was very good for England in the Euros, of course.
I think it's West Ham are really in a fascinating place at the moment because of how well they've done over the last two seasons. It feels like they're establishing themselves off the field in particular to be a consistent like top eight team. And a lot of that involves getting in a wage structure and things like that. Because if you think of some of their better signings recently, they've probably been more on the panic side of it. If you think of, for example, the way they signed Jarrod Bowen, they signed him from Hull to get them out of this relegation scrap. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens he's perfectly adept at being, you know, playing to a top six level, essentially. And so what they've never had to do is try and find value at I suppose, this caliber of the market, as it were, this sector of the market. And it's a huge blind spot for them, I think, personally. Like, it's not something that David Gold has ever had to think about because they've fluctuated so much and they've thrown money at players like, you know, Felipe Anderson or Yarmolenko, Payet to a point where they were like, oh, you know, these are exciting players. And now they've just got to think a bit more carefully because if you look at the spine of their squad, Rice excluded, because obviously he'll be subject to plenty of interest over the summer. They've got players there who'll be there for a while. I think the last few players of value they got were probably Kufal and Suchek. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they've got to start thinking of actually who are those, you know, Europa League up to Champions League type players that we can get now. We need to be shopping in those markets. And I think short term, I think West Ham fans think they've botched this because Champions League is right there.
Yeah.
And if you really, you definitely need another striker because it can't all be on Antonio. And it feels like they could be in a serious predicament where they run out of steam because they just don't have the bodies.
I think that's,
well, Andy,
it.
That's it. It's an interesting point because if you think about it, next season, surely Manchester United, you'd think they'd be stronger. You know, Arsenal,
Tottenham,
Spurs,
Arsenal, yeah. You
know, there is a chance here.
You're right. They had to seize the moment. I totally agree with
they
that.
They haven't signed a forward for 907 days. And they used to love signing strikers, didn't they? And often it wouldn't quite work out and so on. But it's quite a long time for West Ham.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? When you think of like Barcelona, who have no money, are stockpiling them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, since we've been on, yes, they've confirmed the signing of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Oh, he's there.
The interesting thing is, the announcement says he's signed a contract till June 2025. Mm-hmm. With
2025,
yeah, with a mutual get out option in June 2023.
So just give it to him till 2023, then. That's what I understand.
And he's got a 100 million buyout clause as well.
Yeah,
I look forward to someone swooping in for him.
Yeah,
the funny
in
thing
6 months
is,
time,
the only team stupid enough to pay that are Barcelona.
Right. Yeah, that's they're really clever. Oh, we're the only one. Oh, we
it's,
can't.
It's basically like when you buy someone a present for Christmas that's something that you want.
So, yeah. So, I know what you mean with regards to West Ham. Do you just feel for those supporters who just think, oh, it's touching distance, but they've just sort of kind of, they're trying to consolidate where they are rather than let's just try and reach out and see what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're having super fun in the Europa League, and maybe they'll have super fun in the Europa League again next season. Of course, that's the other thing. They can go on and win the Europa League, couldn't they?
When does fun become super fun? When you go from Premier League to Europa League.
Yeah, although this feels like West Ham are on the cusp of going from fun to like too serious, aren't they? Because now there's already you know, we just like to sum up, you know, the attitude from fans I saw on Twitter yesterday was quite interesting because a lot of them were quite realistic because they were like, mm-hmm, we've been good for the last two seasons, but we're still not a club at that tier. Players don't necessarily actively want to come to West Ham just yet, but this was a chance to become that club and that might have been gone.
Might be, but who knows?
Yeah.
Trust in David Moyes, everybody. That's something that we can all hold on to. Tonight, gentlemen, Burkina Faso versus Senegal in the first African Cup of Nations semi-final.
Mm.
Tasty. Very, very tasty. We also got Celtic versus Rangers at Celtic Park. Aaron Ramsey's not going to be featuring, though.
That's a shame.
We've already seen him in the shirt and lifting the scarf. What more could you want?
On the pitch. Hopefully there'll be goals. The Edinburgh Derby didn't produce any goals, Andy. It was a shame.
It was a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, I know. But you want goals and hearts wins.
Hibs.
Really?
Hibs all the way.
Yeah, I'd expect that from you. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. If you haven't spotted it, you can give us a little star rating on Spotify now. We will bloody love you for it. On tomorrow's show, I will be back with Andy, and it'll be Luke instead of Vish.
Lord Banter. Back in his hot seat.
Back in on his throne. On his banterous throne. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramble, everybody, part of the Acast Creator Network. Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thanks.
Thank you, Vitushin.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house? How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.